Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, Fan Sports Network. Good morning, everybody. Happy Football Friday to you.
Whoa, we got a lot going on.
No Blazer game tonight. When do they play again?
Saturday.
Tomorrow night. 5 p.m.
Yeah. 5 p.m. game. And on the road, Monday. Right? They're back on the road?
In Miami.
Ooh.
Will Spoelstra be there?
He's doing okay, I'd imagine, right? Just dealing with stuff.
His entire house is gone. All
Not
his stuff
good, yeah.
is gone. Yeah.
Does he have any clothes left? You got to just wear team issued clothes. Do you have any clothes laying anywhere else?
I'm going to guess he's got a wardrobe deal down there.
He's got a deal with somewhere in Miami.
He might have gone in for a quick fitting.
The only thing I saw standing in that picture was the basketball court in the backyard.
At least he can get his shots up still. We will rebuild.
That's what you take out of that situation.
That's exactly what we do.
Still ball, baby.
Still ball. Ball is life. Jeff Howe's going to join us in a moment. We'll talk some NFL with him. I want to start diving into some of the other matchups around the league that we haven't talked about yet. And will one team avoid laying an egg? Let's take a look, though, at a couple of the angles from the college football weekend. We just talked about Oregon in the last hour. Big game for them in Kinnick. Maybe a little snow. We're going to have some flurries in the second half. A little snow football for the Ducks. That'd be fun.
Is it fun if you're losing?
No, not fun at all. Not fun at all. Not having a good time. Not enjoying this. If you're winning, then it's like, hey, this is great.
Okay.
It's snowing. We're up by 20. I'm having a blast right now. Your Beavs are looking to go 3 in a row in Corvallis tomorrow night. We just recapped that conversation and who should they hire.
Tic-tac-toe, baby.
At the head coach. I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you were gambling right now and I throw two different conferences at you, how many teams from said conference are going to get into the college football playoff?
Yeah, one conference is very interesting given the game this weekend.
There is a big game in the old Big 12 this weekend.
Biggest game in the sport?
BYU, Texas Tech are playing. The last time Texas Tech hosted College Game Day was in Michael Crabtree, had a walk-off, and Mike Leach was there.
Oh, wait.
And they won against Texas. The next week they lost against Oklahoma. That Texas Tech team got screwed because it was a three-way Big 12 tie. They all beat each other, and they ended up getting the short end of that stick as a one-loss team. Crabtree was unbelievable. Texas Tech, but Texas Tech and BYU. So you got those two. You got Utah just hanging around, lingering at number 13 without any really quality wins under their belt.
Well, Cincinnati's still ahead of them in the standings.
It's just really weird. Cincinnati is currently unranked now because they lost in non-conference in Nebraska, but they're ahead of them in the Big 12 standings. If we were to gamble right now, you got two teams in the top 10 with one loss or undefeated, right? Texas Tech's one loss, BYU's undefeated. How many Big 12 teams are we gambling on making the playoffs right now?
I think it's two.
It's two?
Interesting game this weekend with BYU Tech. I tend to think because of the defense, Texas Tech is going to win this game.
I feel like I've done that. I'd feel exactly the same. And then in the other side of my head, I'm like, I feel like I've done that for a month straight with BYU and they keep winning games.
That's fine. I think it's one thing, though, to have a comeback win against Arizona. Sure. I think it's another thing to be able to do it against Texas Tech.
On the road.
Texas Tech has two transfer linemen on their defense that have 17 and a half sacks. The portal has been nice to them.
Very nice.
Morton came back last weekend against Kansas State. And he was good.
Yes, he did.
Now, here's the wild card. If he gets hurt, because he's still banged up, if he gets hurt,
their backup's done for the year.
Who the hell is their third quarterback? Because I don't know who that player is.
I do not have an answer for you there.
And that's where it gets dicey. But you look at BYU's schedule, they're undefeated still.
They are.
If Texas Tech, and that's kind of the big wild card here, if BYU beats Texas Tech, I think kind of anything goes at that point. But if Texas Tech handles their business at home against BYU, BYU might run the table till they meet again in the Big 12 title game. And I think even if they lose a rematch with Texas Tech and go to 0-2 against the Red Raiders,
you think they're still in?
I think the committee They showed us last year that they're not going to punish the conference title game loser, and I think that's the right approach.
And I think they would get in, but what's – let me see if I can find this here. There was an article that I read 2 days ago, and they did the blind resume thing against Team A and Team B.
Wins, quality of record, all the different numbers.
And BYU's is better than Ohio State's. But Ohio State won the title. Ohio State's in the heart of conference.
Well, Ohio State beat Texas, don't you know? Come on.
Yeah, but even by all the metrics they used, BYU's resume was better. And they're like, does the committee just want to say out loud they hate BYU? I think in that scenario, though, Dirt, to answer your question, I think two.
Did we give Utah a chance? Utah right now is number 13.
Well, yeah.
Teams around them are going to lose.
Here's the tough thing. If Texas Tech loses, they're tied with Utah, but they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, you got to keep Texas Tech ahead of them, so you can't drop Texas Tech further than 13.
Utah needs, I think, too much stuff to happen for them to get in this conversation, but they are going to be an annoyance and a pest the entire way through.
Them being ranked 13th was one of the bigger surprises of the entire unveiling of the first rankings for me. The win over Cincinnati was nice. Don't get me wrong. They dominated that game.
But who was buying Cincinnati to that level?
I think Cincinnati's a very good team, and they got blown out at home by Texas Tech. And yes, I know Texas Tech is good, but that was an embarrassing loss for them at home on their own field. Didn't happen to them very often. That was one of the bigger head scratchers for me. All right, so you think two, Swag, you think two Big 12 teams are getting in?
I think two.
Like if I set the over 12, under 1.5, you're taking the over?
I would take the over. I think the ACC's in danger of just getting
so
one.
That was the other conference I was going to ask about. The ACC is unique. Georgia Tech lost for the first time last week. Nobody's buying Virginia.
Well, yeah, I know.
Right? Miami just lost. They're all the way down to 18th. So their chance of getting
Pittsburgh already has two losses.
Pitt's the 24. They're not getting
in. I don't know what Louisville's got left.
Louisville's a one-loss team.
Louisville and Georgia Tech need Virginia to get out of there because if they face off in the ACC title game, I think they get two.
Well, Virginia's got the head-to-head win over Louisville.
I know, but I'm just saying they need Louisville to get out of this.
I think the ACC...
They need Louisville or Virginia.
Virginia and Georgia Tech need to meet in the playoffs. Is that what you're saying for two-bid league?
I think the ACC gets one. The Big 12 gets two. Notre Dame, as long as they don't trip over themselves.
Yeah, Notre Dame wins out. They're clearly in the playoff. Group of six.
So how many is that? So that's five.
And then you got
three from the Big 10, and that leaves four for the SEC.
So you think the Big 10's a three-bid league?
As long as Oregon wins out.
If Oregon loses, is the Big 10 a three-bid league?
Now it gets dicey. Who beats them?
Let's say they lose this weekend and then win out.
Ooh. No, I think if that...
You think Oregon gets left out at 10-2 and then...
I think they get left out.
I think the Iowa, Oregon, USC, and if you want to add them in there, Washington, I think the winner of that cluster two-loss situation is
gets into
get
the
in.
Playoff. A lot of this just has to do with how much chaos we have. The ACC is fascinating right now. Just like who... At the start of the year, like Georgia Tech, we probably gave some credence to. Like Georgia Tech had a good year last year. They're building on it. They brought a lot of their guys back, including their quarterback. The top four in the ACC standings at this point in the season being Virginia, Georgia Tech, Pitt, and Louisville.
Virginia has Wake Forest this weekend, and then they have at Duke.
And Duke is a one-loss conference team, too.
Duke is a good team.
You currently,
Duke can put points on the board. That
you have six
problems.
Teams in the ACC that are one-loss or undefeated in conference play.
This is the huge problem with these mega conferences.
Is that fair to only give them a one-bid thing? Because you're going to have two teams that are probably worthy record-wise of being in.
I think it depends on who. Like, so Louisville's remaining schedule is Cal, Clemson, at SMU, Kentucky. I don't think Louisville's going to run the table. I think at best they're probably 10-2 there. You mentioned Virginia. They get Duke on the road. Wake Forest. Wake Forest has been feisty. I'll give Dickert some credit. They just beat SMU 2 weeks ago before they beat Miami. And then you get Virginia Tech, who seems a little lifeless right now. The other team in there is Georgia Tech, who just lost their first game. They're at Boston College, who's been a dumpster fire. Then they get Pitt and Georgia to wrap up. So I imagine there's another loss there for Georgia Tech. I think we would all gamble on that.
I'm gonna ask you guys a question here.
And then let me look at Pitt real quick.
Take away the
Notre
conference.
Dame. Oh, Pitt's done. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami. Pitt's not running.
Take away the conference name for a second. When you go about the middle, now let's say Miami. That might seem unfair to you guys, but Miami is almost in the middle at this point with all the other good teams.
Yeah, they're in seventh place in the ACC.
From middle to bottom, which conference is better, the ACC or the Big Ten? Because you have Purdue, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State, and Rutgers in there. And that is some bad football collectively. That's one loss with all those, or two wins.
The Big Ten is so top heavy.
Rutgers, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Purdue all combined have one conference win.
And I think you want
to
say...
I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know how to answer that question.
I think it might be the ACC.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, because you're wearing an Oregon
hoodie. I can't
do
it. North Carolina's dog ass.
No, they're not.
Florida State's horrible.
Yeah.
Syracuse has been a dumpster fire this year. Boston College is winless in conference play. Stanford, Clemson's been a disaster. We all thought Cal at the start of the year was going to be fun, and now they've kind of hit the skids.
Could Florida State...
It's not a big difference.
Could Florida State beat UCLA?
But I think the combination of, like, so you go seven... After you get to seven in the Big Ten, then you're essentially UCLA, Illinois, Nebraska,
yeah,
Maryland.
It's not great.
It's not great.
It's not great.
But I'd pick, like, Nebraska to beat most of those teams. I would prop...
Right now, you
Illinois
would?
Killed Duke, so if you're looking for a head-to-head,
okay.
Illinois went on the road to Durham
what
and blew them out. It was early, but they blew them out. UCLA's playing better football now. You know, give them a little credit. I think they are. I don't know. God, the bottom of these conferences is bad.
It's not good.
So there you go. Interesting storylines going into the weekend because the Big 12's got the showdown game, obviously, well, Texas Tech and BYU.
We need to go because we got a guest. Final note on that Texas Tech-BYU game. I went through some numbers yesterday just reading about it because I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
We have not given nearly enough thought or conversation about the best freshman quarterback in college football's Bear Bachmeyer.
Number 47.
His numbers are really good. He's almost 1,700 passing yards.
He's
got
a great
400-plus rushing yards.
Talk about a coach who just keeps winning. Guys coming and going. They kick their quarterback off the team in the middle of the offseason.
Sirtaki's
a freshman.
19-2 so far in the last two seasons at BYU.
Talk about a great hire, man.
Go
he's doing... Kind of had that guy. He walked out the door. Let's get to Jeff Howe. He covers the NFL for The Athletic. He broke down some deadline moves and the winners and losers, and then how is it going to play out the rest of the year? We'll talk to him coming up next on 105.1 FM The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to stay game ready with today's Daily Ticker. Reach for your favorite independently brewed Pelican beverage at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Awesome NFL slate this weekend on the heels of NFL trade deadline day. Let's talk about it with Jeff Howe, NFL national insider for The Athletic. At Jeff P. Howe on Twitter is where you can go find him and follow him and find his great work again at The Athletic. Jeff, good morning to you. You know, reading some of your stuff in the aftermath of the trade deadline and kind of the reaction that some teams had, some of them were head-scratchers for us. What was the biggest surprise to you coming out of the NFL trade deadline?
Just that the Jets were so committed to selling. I mean, when the Jets are committed to any one direction, it's surprising. So, we're talking decades and decades of futility for a lot of different reasons. So, they were all about fire sale. I was kind of surprised it stopped, actually, when you're going to move Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. You know, why isn't Breece Hall on the table? Why isn't why isn't Breece Hall more available? Why isn't Garrett Wilson more available? But I also liked it because you've got a new regime that understands where they are. You know, I always like to reward the teams that really go for it, like the Colts. They make that big, splashy, aggressive move. But I think there's some admiration for teams that understand they've got a quite a long rebuild ahead of them. The players they've inherited from the previous regime might not fit their long-term vision, and now it's time to cut bait. So I thought they did well.
Maybe you can answer a poll question we did earlier joking about the Jets. Would you rather be the franchise quarterback drafted by the Jets or go play for the San Antonio Arena League team?
Well, One of those things, you have a pretty good idea of how it's going to turn out, and the other you don't. So I'll take the wild card in the
okay.
Arena League.
Hey, all right, there we go. Way to play the game.
Could be the next Kurt Warner. You never know.
We asked you about Sauce Gardner and the Colts giving up, you know, the draft capital and now taking on the contract. I'm curious, and I really liked it, but I'm curious Jeff Howe's opinion. I thought the Seahawks made a sneaky good little move getting Shahid out of New Orleans. He's familiar with the Kubiak system. Seahawks offense just absolutely obliterated the Commanders on national television. I'm curious what you thought of them adding Rashid Shahid to the offense.
Yeah, I liked it because JSN is phenomenal, and his development this quickly this season, really starting toward the end of last season, has been extremely impressive. But if he all of a sudden goes down, you have a glaring hole at wide receiver. But not just that, you know, you haven't necessarily gotten what you I don't want to project what I think they probably hope to get out of Cooper Kupp, but he certainly does not look anything like the Cooper Kupp that was a real star for a good chunk of his career. Not that I expected him to, but anyway, you needed a little more reinforcements there. So to get somebody like Shahid, who obviously still has plenty of potential, young player, a good athlete, and has the familiarity with Kubiak's system, I thought that was a pretty good one, just because it supplements the offense. Now, I think Kubiak is going to do a really good job of continuing to blend his vision with Mike McDonald's and making sure that this is still a team that on offense has its identity on the run and the physical game. I would be surprised if they fall into some of those traps that they don't beset them last season with falling in love with too much of the pass, but you need to be able to throw the ball at some point. And this is a Seattle team that I predicted before the season was going to be the NFC's Super Bowl contender, I predicted they were going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know why I'm struggling for those words. But, you know, it's in order to get there, at some point you're going to have to prove that you can go throw for throw with another quarterback in the NFC playoffs. So it's good to have a well-balanced ability to do that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jeff Howe is our guest, NFL National Insider for The Athletic, at Jeff P. Howe on Twitter is where you can go follow him and find his work, athletic.com. Yeah, I love the infomercials where it's like there's a hole in the boat and somebody slaps a piece of tape on it. It's like, see, this isn't going to sink. I felt kind of that way about the Chargers adding an offensive lineman from the Saints that I had never heard of before.
So did Jeff, because he didn't even grade it. He graded it okay.
Okay. It's not even like an A, B, C, D, or it's just whatever. I'm a Herbert guy, you know, going to Oregon and him being the quarterback and from our neck of the woods. I think he's having an unbelievable year, especially considering the injuries that have piled up around him. Are we patching a hole in the boat that's still going to sink? How do we feel about them?
Yeah, I mean, but it's also hard because it's not like quality tackles are just readily available. I mean, it's just teams are just, whether it's this time of year, the offseason, you know, right after cutdowns, roster cuts and training camp, what have you, like teams are just always trying to figure out a way to improve their offensive line, and the answers just don't exist. And it's been that way for several years. And this was getting a guy like Penning, who really has not panned out in New Orleans, was the first round pick, I think, in 22. They've tried him at both tackle spots. They tried him at guard. It wasn't an overly favorable player at any of those spots. So it's just a guy who has the physical tools, has, you know, some nastiness in the run game that Jim Harbaugh, I'm sure, will appreciate. And maybe a change of scenery will help. But like, this is truly a stopgap type of, let's just throw this guy out there and hope that he can do something, because you talk about like the best young tackle tandems in the NFL, Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater are absolutely near, if not at the top of that list. So to lose both of them for the rest of the season is, I mean, that's a catastrophic combination of injuries. And it's one that probably takes the top tier of potential off of the table for the Chargers, but it doesn't mean they can't keep trying to protect Justin Herbert if they are able to get into the playoffs.
Well, we know Denver's defense are leading the division. They win last night. They're 8-2. We know the defense is elite, if not the best group in the sport, if not in contention. What's wrong with the offense? When you watch the Denver Broncos, what are the Denver Broncos offensively? Because to me, they're incredibly frustrating. Last night, a great example of that. What does Jeff Howe make of the Denver Bronco offense?
Oh, that's, I would love to be able to answer. If I had the answer to that question, man, it's so inconsistent. Sometimes you sit there and you question what's going on with Bo Nix's accuracy. Sometimes you sit there and you question what's going on with the play calling. Sometimes you sit there and you wonder what's going on with the overall philosophy and the strategy. It's just, and it's always something. I mean, how many times did they gain eight? Like, it wasn't 8 yards every time on first and 10, but it felt like as we were watching the game, they were getting an 8 yard run on first and 10. And then it was like, all of a sudden it's third and one again, and they fail and they punt. And it's like, you got the punter who is barely, I mean, he almost whiffed a couple times early in that game. So, this was, it's just, it seems like it's a lot. Like, when they are in a groove, obviously Bo Nix looks really good. He's certainly a clutch type of player. He's got that gene. That's no question. But it's just the entire operation just feels a little disjointed. And I can't get a great handle on it, because I think if you just stick to that run first philosophy and allow Bo Nix to be a distributor and sort of make a few plays off schedule, then he's going to do what you need. I don't know. It's a bizarre offense to watch.
I know there's a lot of good teams in the AFC, and a couple teams might jump back into the playoff picture. But of the playoff teams that we're looking at, is Denver going to be the hardest one to try to predict how far and what they do in the postseason?
No, I'm putting, like, for me right now, it's the Chiefs and the Bills and then everybody else. I think Indianapolis, Denver, and New England. And then, you know, there's like two or three others that you could loop in with that group too. Is like, I really like, this is the most boring radio take ever, so I apologize, I'm about to do this to your show, but like, this has struck me for the last several weeks, is this is going to be such a big second half season, because we have so many unknowns. You have some top tier teams that are dealing with injuries, you know, Baltimore, San Francisco to an extent, like always, but like, eventually those teams are in theory going to start to get healthier. They're going to be a whole lot different in the second half. You know, you've got a team like Pittsburgh that is all of a sudden slightly better on offense than it is on defense, where it can't really stop anybody. What's going to go on with them? And again, then you've got like these surprise AFC teams like New England, Denver, and Indianapolis that are doing some incredible things, but like, New England's schedule is extremely soft. You know, they're going to finally get a good test against Tampa this weekend. Denver is so sporadic. Indianapolis, it's like, yeah, the start is legit, but it's been so long since they've had a really good team that like, we still need to see more of it to believe it. So you look at those stalwarts up top, and man, I was never more ready over the last half decade to write off the Chiefs than I was the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Even when they were winning, it just didn't even look like some of the wins that they were ripping off last season. And it was like, oh my goodness. But now, you know, yeah, they got beat pretty good by Buffalo last week, but I thought up until that, Kansas City looked like the real Super Bowl contending type of Kansas City team. And if they get back onto that plane or that level going into the postseason, the teams that have had the fun early season storylines are going to start getting exposed, because they're just so elite at the top.
There's no doubt. I have been on this train for a couple of weeks now, that it's like, it's so fun to talk about these up and coming teams and the idea of certain teams pulling off upsets in the playoffs, when we all know it's inevitable, right? We all know we're going to look up in the AFC and NFC title game. Philly will be in it. Kansas City will be in it. We're probably heading for another Super Bowl.
Philly.
Right? Are we heading for that outcome? Or are we betting on Eagles and Chiefs again?
Oh man. I just hope there's something we haven't seen before.
Yes.
Nobody wants to see a Super Bowl rematch, no. Let alone for the 42nd time in the last 43 years or whatever it feels like it's been. Like, how badly did the whole world want to see Buffalo Detroit last season? And that kind of got taken away. And not only that, but to have a recycled matchup, not that it wasn't an interesting game, but like, you know, where's the 2 weeks worth of hype that we're kind of getting it cheated out of? But yeah, I think the AFC is absolutely shaping up to be Buffalo, Kansas City again. I think the NFC, like Philly, they're going to be tough to knock off. We know that. Like, I think they're a team that it realizes how good they are, and I think they kind of allow some of these early season struggles. Reminds me, you know, I don't want to make a direct comparison, but it reminds me to like what the Patriots would do like 10 years ago, where it would, you know, shake some things, shake out the cobwebs, and then kind of get into a rhythm after Thanksgiving. But I really like what the Rams are doing. I really like what the Seahawks are doing. I don't think either one of those teams has hit their stride or their potential yet. So I think both of them are going to continue to get better. You know, I admire the way that San Francisco has stayed relevant. I just don't know if it's sustainable because of the quarterback flip-flopping that's going on virtually week by week. But, you know, it's going to be fun. But, yeah, I think the divisional round, once again, is probably going to be the best slate, because we're going to have those up-and-coming teams, and everybody's going to look at the underdogs and think that, hey, maybe it could be different this year, and then all of a sudden we're going to tune in on championship weekend, and we're going to see a lot of people we're used to by now.
What does the P in the Twitter handle stand for?
Parker, middle name. Ah. I keep getting beat to all of these social media places by somebody else who just wants to keep taking Jeff Howe.
Those you know bastards. What? Parker's a good one. I was going to go off the board a little bit. Parker's a good I was going to guess Percy, so Parker's kind of in that Percy, same line. Okay. You know, because most people probably guess Philip, right?
Yeah, Philip. Yeah, Philip's probably the first go-to.
Parker. Okay, I like that.
That's a good middle name. I love it. Great stuff on the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe. That's where you can find him. All his great worth at theathletic.com, covering the NFL. NFL National Insider for The Athletic. Man, really enjoyed the conversation. By the way, the Twitter pick is a golf pick. What's the handicap?
I don't have a handicap right now, which is the best plausible deniability you could possibly have. It's some days I could probably play like a 10. Showed up at a tournament a couple of years ago, and I said, and this is the God's honest truth, I was like, look, I don't have, actually, it might even been from the photo that tournament. I'm like, I don't have a handicap. You know, do whatever you got to do. I sit down in my cart and it's a 36.
Ooh.
I'm like looking at the guy next to me. I'm like, this is good or horrible. So we end up, you know, I play like, I got young kids, you know, the time is kind of, I was golf captain in high school. So, you know, like I have some game when I'm able to work on it, but we get out, you know, it's a scram or you got the rolling tees and we start on like the 11th hole. It's a par five. I get up, I hit a drive like 320 right down the middle. First drive I hit.
Sandbagging SOB.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, so we're playing four wall here. So we all drop from my drive.
Right.
I end up sticking, this is a par five. I end up sticking my iron shot to 5 feet. I make an eagle that nets as a one on the first hole. Like, I don't know what we're going to do here. I think we carded a net 46, but thankfully we ended up winning the gross. So I was able to throw all that other crap aside.
That's good.
Yeah, I haven't been invited back though, so that might be a problem.
One of those Zaire, I see those like Zaire golf posts. This scramble team shows up with a 47. How's that possible, man? What are these guys doing? Jeff Howe, great stuff talking NFL. We really enjoyed it. Hopefully, you get out on the course again soon. We know the pain with young kids, and hopefully, we can do this again soon. Thanks for the time in Portland.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. There you go. Jeff Howe, NFL National Insider for The Athletic. That's a great story.
That's like a nightmare scenario, but a dream scenario at the same time.
It is both. You don't want to be that guy that shows up, I don't have the handicap, but I see his point. Like, if you're not playing a lot, why have one? And then all of a sudden you put it together for a round.
36
is a
bit high. I thought they maxed out at 25 usually.
It should absolutely be maxed out at 20. I think you shouldn't be able to go higher than 20.
Ours used to be 25 at the golf class.
You got
to
trim that down. 20 should be the max. Good stuff on the NFL. Let's talk a little bit more about one team. Can they avoid laying an egg? Also, the thought on a couple of scenarios he gave us there and teams that we're buying or not buying. That's next. All right, welcome back in. 8:40 on your Football Friday. Good stuff from Jeff Howe, even though he's a sandbagger.
Well, he didn't want to be. He showed up and didn't have a handicap.
I know. That's a
36. You need to talk about the tournament.
We got issues here.
Whoever did that tournament, a 36 is stupid.
I love his, I have not been invited back at the end of that story. Yeah, they're not inviting me back.
Hey, anytime we can make an NFL friend, I'm going to hold on to that contact as long as I can.
Every time I hear that song, I'm reminded. You know what I've been listening to lately?
R. Kelly?
I've not been listening to R. Kelly.
Michael Jackson.
Not Michael. Well, a little bit. Mm. There's a movie coming out about him. We talked about that yesterday. Were you a Jock Jams kid? Did you ever do Jock Jams?
I didn't like them, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the arena songs.
It was all the arena songs.
It was basically the now, but in stadium version.
It was in stadium version music with, you know, Pump the Jam Up, and I think the Space Jam song was on there. Some Quad City DJs.
I'm gonna give you a really bad take.
Uh oh.
I hate all those songs.
You hate all those songs?
I think
really?
They're terrible. I think we lie to ourselves.
Wow.
I think it's like Thanksgiving food.
That might be the most offensive thing you've ever said to
Nobody drives to their work. And listens to Jock Jams.
I'm bringing Jock Jams back, dude. No, I'm playing Jock Jams when I'm working out.
They're
now.
Not good songs.
It's good stuff.
No.
It's good stuff.
What happens is...
Pump the jam. Yeah. Pump it up.
When were you dancing to that, Andy?
I'm always dancing
when
to
it. When it was time out,
Look, I'm willing to look past what Gary Glitter did. Rock and Roll Part 2 is a jam, okay?
Yeah. Gary Glitter.
How does that not get you going? What are you talking about over there? It's the most offensive thing you've ever said on these airwaves.
They're terrible songs.
Get out of here.
Play that when your team's down 20. See how you're feeling.
That's what Teddy Ballgame goes to bed to. He doesn't get lullabies. Dude, he gets jock jams.
I'm not kidding you. He wakes up from nap time, and when he wakes up from nap, he immediately runs out into the living room. He wants to grab a ball. That's his first thing. Ball, ball, dunk. That's what he says because we got a little hoop.
Ball is life.
Ball is life.
You're off to a nice little start here,
dude,
as a father.
I'm killing it right now. Don't get me started. And then I grab my smart speaker, I turn on a Jock Jam soundtrack, and we start putting some shots up. This is what we do literally for the first 30
minutes. Actually, what you
before
need
we
to
change
hold
a diaper,
on to.
Before we put pants on, we go get some shots up, we listen to our Jock Jams, and then we settle in for the rest
of
the day.
Okay, now if he starts looking for the Jock Jams, this is how you're going to potty train him.
Oh,
he doesn't get the jock jams until he goes in the potty.
Go take a dump in the toilet, and then I'll give you some jock jams. That's a great idea.
You do the Pavlov dog where you play a jock jam
to get him fired up to go poop.
And it makes him like, I gotta go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, yeah. All right.
Ooh,
hey,
pump it up.
Pump the jam.
Poop, poop, poop. Yeah. I think that's what you do.
Now we're talking. Did you have one of these? Like, I know that didn't exist, but did you like make mixtapes of like pregame music back in the day? What was your pregame playlist?
We had one.
A band?
You play basketball?
No. We had one.
Pregame for a band thing.
He was on the bench and you told me he was doing pregame band and then ran to the bench. I'm here.
I'm here, coach. I'm ready.
No, we had one. Somebody made a mixtape and we had two because for a road game, we had one for the bus ride. Mm-hmm. And then we had one in the locker room before we went out on the court.
What was it?
A lot of Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, Welcome to the Jungle. Paradise City.
Some of those.
Van Halen, Right Now.
Yeah, well, Right Now, solid. That's still in my workout jam. Yeah, dude, it's AC/DC. Yeah. Now we're talking. Let's
so,
go.
Yeah, it was a lot of hair band.
Little Twisted Sister maybe in there.
Look, we got high school playoff games tonight.
You do?
Yep. I will say, for all the good songs you like, whether they're old school rock or rap or jock jams, nothing quite beats being at a high school playoff game and hearing the...
the band starts playing it. With like seven members, and there's one guy with a cymbal back there, and it's like, this doesn't really sound that good, but it's kind of getting me going right now. I'm not going to lie. We need a Jock Jams poll question. Are you pro or anti Jock Jams?
My wife yesterday was talking to a friend of ours because I like what you're doing with Teddy.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. I was doing dishes, and my back was turned, but I'm like kind of laughing. My wife was asked, if you had a son, would you be any different? And she's like, no, we'd still be doing art. And I'm just thinking, like,
no, you would not. No, you would not.
Backyard playing football.
Work on that cadence.
He'd be Jerry Rice. I'd be Joe Montana.
I'm going deep. Go deep. Go deep. I'm open. Let's go, baby. Working on our corner threes, our deep threes. We got all the spots on the floor. We're dialed in.
All right.
Dude.
So what's the poll question? Pro?
Are you pro or anti jock jams?
Outside of the sporting event.
Because
that's my whole point.
Sure.
At the game, it hits.
At the game, it hits.
Outside the stadium, it doesn't hit.
Sure.
You get dumped by your 5-year girlfriend. You playing a jock jam?
It gets me going, man.
Playing a jock jam after being... you know, down by a lot of points.
But he said, you're going to create a 30-year-old dirt who can't poop without jock jams. Look, don't worry about my future problems, okay? We'll handle that issue when we get there. Dad, I still can't code.
Teddy Johnson back here on the fan. It's a Therapy Wednesday.
Turn on the Ace of Base, all right? Come on. We'll be all right, buddy. Turn it on. We'll figure it out. Oh, I didn't get to my NFL stuff there. I don't know what jock jams got sidetracked. Let's talk a little more NFL. I want to dive back to college. We got some more coaches continuing this theme in college football.
You want to talk about Matt Khalil today?
We can. Why can't I get that kind of PR?
I don't think this is a good thing.
You don't think it's a good thing?
I think
it's too big. It's a bad thing.
I mean, in this point, this story literally proves it's a bad thing. Coke cans, dude.
Nobody's ever said that about me.
Coke cans.
I couldn't handle it.
Man,
it's a dream. We can all dream. I digress. Let's get back to the NFL next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, keep your fake sponsors rolling in. Sprague and Lime, 503-864-6326. We'll do that coming up at 9:30.
Poll question's up, by the way. Do you listen to jock jams outside of a sporting event?
It takes two to make the thing go right.
I mean, it just hits you every time, dude.
I got the power. See, you want to sing it now. You want to jump in. Look at you. Everything you got. Can the Seahawks avoid laying an egg this weekend? Can they not do something stupid? Like right when we're all to the point of, hey, this looks like a team that can make a lot of noise in the NFC. They're not going to lose a home to the Cardinals, are they?
Well, the Cardinals are better with Brissett.
They're feisty right now.
Marvin Harrison's coming in with some momentum.
The Cardinals are more predictable with Brissett.
I mean, he doesn't have the ability to run. No.
No.
Kyler had the ability to run, but couldn't really throw the ball. So you got kind of the inverse.
Okay, this is a stupid question.
The question is, can the Seahawks front four, can they get to Brissett?
Hold on. Are you more predictable if your offense is better?
Well, you're more efficient.
Okay.
But you're more predictable.
Just and the Kyler
think,
doing
and I think
whatever.
In the hands. Yeah.
I think, I mean, yeah, the Kyler, broken down plays always, of Kyler.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're always worried about him taking off and scrambling, you know, things breaking down and the chaos play. That's more, I think, what the Seahawks have a problem with. I think when the Seahawks know what's coming and McDonald can get that defense, you know, schemed up properly, it's like, all right, if we do, there's going to be pressure on, you know, the corners to take away Harrison. How are they going to deal with McBride if they come up with a plan for those two things? And then he can turn, then it's a matter of, okay, can his front four get there and get to Brissett before guys can get open.
How big does this one feel for the Colts in Berlin? Just in terms of a bounce back. That's the first time
they need to play clean.
Yeah.
If Atlanta shows up and moves the ball. And
if Daniel Jones turns the ball over three times, what's the takeaway?
We're head scratching.
I mean, it's going to be people who never trusted the start.
Here we go. Told you.
Right. It's going to be Daniel Jones again. look, I think even if they won in a walk-off field goal, you just need to win. Right? You came off. You didn't play a good game. You know, somehow they were about 2 minutes away from maybe having one more shot at trying to tie that game. They scored
a
touchdown late.
Yeah.
I actually 10 did seconds talk to left. Jones.
The Falcons are feisty enough and a weird enough team to say, hey, it's a tie game going into the fourth quarter. I don't think you're stunned by that. I don't even – when you do these international games, they're a little bit like Thursday Night Football. It's just win. Get the win.
Yep.
Get out of Berlin. Go home. And regroup. That's kind of where I think the Colts are at.
Don't give the game to Atlanta.
Yes.
If Atlanta plays well and it's a ball game, okay, fine. But you can't have, you can't have a bunch of turnovers and penalties.
Are we watching EPL soccer or Berlin football on Sunday morning? Do they play on Sundays?
They play Saturday. You're talking about EPL?
Yeah.
Yeah, they play Saturday.
Yeah, they play Saturday and Sunday.
What team are you watching? What are you gonna turn on the tube?
Well, unfortunately for you, my EPL team was incredibly disappointing yesterday.
They had
a nil-nil tie.
Oh, no. Are you going to be the swag of the EPL? You're going to bounce around team to team?
I don't know.
Are you an EPL slut?
I don't know what to do here because my team is in relegation right now.
Yeah, they're going to get relegated. You won't be able to watch them anymore.
They have no offense to speak of. Their penalty kicker was terrible yesterday. I don't know. I think their game is Sunday at 9, if I'm not mistaken, our time.
Yeah, so crossover.
Yeah, it's 9 a.m. Oh, no, 6 a.m.
Uh-oh.
I will be watching that.
You'll be watching that over Colts and Falcons?
Colts Falcons will be on my iPad in Arnie's, and I'll be watching Nottingham Forest on the main screen on the Peacock channel because they need to beat Leeds, and Leeds is not good.
I'm gonna have to record mine. Tottenham's playing tomorrow morning at 4:30. They have the early game.
You're not going to wake up bright and early for that one?
I think I'll still be asleep.
Oh, that's Swigard. What do we make of Sunday Night Football? The over-under is 45.5. Does that not feel a little high? With considering the Chargers' offensive line injuries, I know the Steelers' offense has been a little bit better as of late.
Their defense is not good.
Isn't that great.
Was an outlier last weekend against the Colts.
Yes, it's not been great.
So if you tell me Herbert throws for 285, two touchdowns, and their rushing game's okay, I could see it going over 45.
Field goal, I don't know where it is locally, but at least nationally, it's down below a field goal. The line is.
If you can get it at 2.5, I'd roll the Chargers.
You like the Chargers even with the line injuries?
Yeah, I like the Chargers this weekend.
Be a big one. I mean, any win that they pile up in the short term is massive for them. Not that Alt or Slater are going to come back.
It's three right now here locally.
Yeah.
Yeah, our lines
too many
are,
Charger betters.
We're getting screwed out here on our lines.
Chargers are tough because there's too many people that gamble on them and Herbert for obvious reasons, and so the lines don't necessarily always come down.
The Seahawks are kind of like this too.
Whenever they're
2.5 nationally, they tend to be 3 here because they know they can get us.
Yep, they know Seahawks fans are going to jump on and take the 3. You take the bait.
Now if you want to drive to A-Lane, you can get 2.5.
See, you just got to go a little bit further up the old highway. Yeah, interesting game. Sunday Night Football won't be aesthetically pleasing, but interesting matchup nonetheless.
You going to be tuned into Browns Jets?
No, I will not watch that game, although it will be shown on my Red Zone because I don't know if there's a standalone game I'm going to watch in the 10 a.m. window, so that's just kind of in the mix of the other 10 a.m. games.
Do we have a standalone game on the networks?
I mean, I'm sure there's one that's airing that you could watch if you want to.
Because I would watch Giants-Bears standalone.
Pats-Bucks is the only 10 a.m. game that I would want to watch standalone.
Yeah, you give me that, I'll watch that standalone. Yeah. What about Ravens-Vikings?
I mean, Ravens-Vikings is interesting, don't get me
that's
wrong.
That's a standalone game.
Yeah.
Lamar against Flores and McCarthy?
We're putting McCarthy into this, really? You're doing this?
He's a winner.
McCarthy, really?
I mean...
A guy with 2 MVPs and a guy with 2 NFL wins? Like, that's a marquee quarterback matchup?
I mean, he's a franchise quarterback.
It's so stupid.
I can't wait to
don't
see...
Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't do it. Don't fall into the trap.
Bro,
don't
how many weekends do you get to say out loud, I have 9 against 8? I get to see what 9's going to do. He's crazy.
Troy Aikman's a real 8. Ask the lawsuit, all right? He's got a beer called number 8. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Spring
Aikman's better than Lamar, huh?
Well, he's got 3 of those, you know.
You just yelled at me for doing the winning thing. And now
I mean, no, Lamar's better. It was a joke because he filed a lawsuit. They were number 8. He had a beer number 8. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember
Troy Aikman sued Lamar Jackson.
What?
For the number. You don't remember that story?
No.
Yeah, that was like 3 years ago. I think he dropped the lawsuit.
Oh.
But they sued each other over who was the real number 8. Yeah, that just happened.
Steve Young walking in the door. Hello.
Hey, what about me, man?
Who's the real number 8? Young, Lamar, or Aikman?
For most, it's probably Aikman because of the Cowboy thing. Oh. Lamar is the best player, I would argue. I would go Lamar, Steve, Troy Aikman.
Wow, Super Bowl is not important.
No, I mean, yeah, you put him on the 1994 Niners. I think Lamar Jackson's going to win a Super Bowl.
I don't know if he could have been on that Cowboy team, though.
I don't know if he could have handed the ball off to Emmitt Smith 47 times and won a title. I don't know if he would have been able to do that.
The lone standalone broadcast for the 10 o'clock window in Portland, because
yeah.
CBS has the regional, and so they're taking the Seahawks game at 1.
Of course they are.
It's Giants-Bears.
Oh, God. Nope.
I just told you. I would watch that.
503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Get your fake sponsors in. We'll spring the line coming up at 9:30. Get back into college football. This trend continues, and I'm here for it. We'll start there next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.